And Mark Tamalese comes specially from Ra'anana to conduct. Isaiah Cox. Isaiah Cox was in shul. He came specially from America. Came from America specially to be in the choir. Yup. Okay, Rabbi Sai, our limud of Chofetz Chaim is Lizchus Refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chai LeBesoch Shal Chai LeYisrael. So, yesterday we were talking about that it's better to be embarrassed in front of people than it is to be embarrassed by in front of the Rabbeinu Shlaim, and therefore, if you're in a situation where you need to listen or you need to speak Lashon Hara, then you got to run away. Next thing the Chofetz Chaim says is, in the next halacha, in the Klal Aleph, I think it's halacha Vov, he says that, and this, I think he says it misfora, but it makes sense. He says you can be over speaking Lashon Hara without saying a word. He says, without saying a word. He said, it's very simple, he said. If you do hand signals, eye signals, you roll your eyes, or what, he was going like that, you know, or you just so, or somebody tells you Lashon Hara, and you nod, and you wink, and you indicate that you're maskim, or you say, hear, you know, this sort of thing, etc. He says, you could be over Lashon Hara by speaking on the phone. You could be over Lashon Hara by sending a WhatsApp. You could be over Lashon Hara by sending texts. You could be over Lashon Hara by showing someone a picture. Yeah, he says, show someone a picture of somebody doing something which would otherwise be embarrassing for him. He wouldn't really want people to know about it. Then he said, in all those situations, it makes sense. It's simple logic that you can be over Lashon Hara by being maskim to the Lashon Hara, by approving of the Lashon Hara, or by doing it in a different way, rather than without saying a single word. And today, unfortunately, with our ability to text around the world in 5 minutes, a person's very easily capable of being over Lashon Hara if he wants to spread bad news about somebody. No, the Chofetz Chaim didn't have mobiles, but the Chofetz Chaim was thinking ahead. I think he had telephones. There might have been telephones in the time of the Chofetz Chaim. But in any event, they had trains, they had post, writing a letter. Writing a letter, sending a picture, anything like that. All those things, right? If I go around showing a picture of Charlie Bloom, wearing, like, all in black with a sack over his shoulder saying swag, you know? Right? I don't need to tell everybody he's a gunner. Right? I just show them the picture, send it around, put it on the WhatsApp, attach it, send it around, the whole world knows. And the person, the Chofetz Chaim said, we already learnt that your Lashon Hara is multiplied by the number of people who listen, by the number of people who receive the WhatsApp, the number of people who see the picture. And therefore,
WhatsApp can make millions of Lashon Hara.
Bisman Hazeh, we've got ability to do Lashon Hara like the Chofetz Chaim never dreamt of. Right, seriously.
Is there a difference between telling millions and telling one person?
No, there's no difference. There's the het of apet losa, but we'll come to that. Right, there's a limited thing, this idea of saying something in front of three people, Belinator, we'll come to that in a couple of days' time. Okay, but let's finish what we're doing at the moment. At the moment, as far as we're concerned, spreading Lashon Hara can involve you in many, many Yisurim, and you don't even have to actually say a word of Lashon Hara. That is the that's that halacha. Halacha Zayin, seeing as speaker's not here yet, Halacha Zayin says as follows: that if you include yourself in the Lashon Hara and you say it's me and someone else, and we did this, somebody says, I'm embarrassed to meet Rebbe so and so. Every time I meet him, I really feel bad. Why? Because he was our Rebbe in class. And you know the things that we got up to? One day, me and Pliny, we smeared honey on his seat. And when he sat down, he became stuck to the seat, and it was a balagan, etc., etc. He never found out who did it. So I've just told Lashon Hara about myself. As far as I can see from the Chofetz Chaim, it's not actually osa to tell Lashon Hara about yourself. It's not a good idea. Not a good idea for your reputation, but it's not actually also Mindin, what's called. But you included the other guy. You said, me and the other guy, we did this together. We got up to it. This is what best men do at Chasnas. They tell all the stories about the things that the Chosan got up to in his life up till now, which is very very amusing for the audience to listen to. But if he's, and a lot of it's probably Lashon Hara, but if he says, and when we were on holiday and we did this and we did that, etc., etc., the fact that you include yourself in it, good luck to you. But if you're going to talk about the other guy, that's Lashon Hara.
Started at the Treway in Northwest London, Monday, Yud Zion Adoration, 26th of February, Rabbi Osher Spry Shlita, is a car, a Rishus Hayochid. This week, Treway at the Swamp of our family, Stimber Lukwud, Simchon Assum of Moshe Stimber Nerio and Ruti Adler Shasithia. The Tiskayim, Mitz Hashem, Simon Tov, Model Tov, tomorrow, 27th of February, Yud Ches Adar, Hihi Robson, Shivin Advice, Neimon, Yisrov, the Shame of the Silo. ולזכוס השבועים והחיורים במלחמות שחצו לבותיהם לשלום במהירו.
אמן. Good morning, Shkoyach, the opportunity. So today, I'd like to discuss the parashas we have been going through. Since Beshalach, actually, all the way through to Pekudei, actually all have a mention of Shabbos, I believe. I think we start with Beshalach, we talk about the Mon. It references how Esheshetayfu Yoyfu, when it mentions Shabbos. When it comes to Parashas Yisro, we've got Aseret Dibros, also mentions Shabbos. Mishpatim, I think, also mentions. Trumat Tzavos, we've got Tzias HaMishkan. Kisisa, this week's parasha, also has Vashomer Yisrael's Shabbos. Vayakel B'Kudei also took out Tzias HaMishkan. And the beginning of Vayakel is where we learn the Melachos, third time Melachos, it says, Eila HaDvarim, Gematria of Eila is 37. And HaDvarim, the Dvarim is another one, and HaDvarim, that makes it 39. So we have the 39 melachas from the Mishkan. So Hitzah is, in a way, Hitzah from Rishus HaYochim, Rishus HaRavim, is one of the, it's the last melacha, but it's actually the most unique melacha. Because if you think about Hitzah, although we learn the 39 melachas of the Mishkan, Hitzah is the only one which is actually specified, there's actually two psukim about Hitzah. Besides from the fact that we have a limit from the Mishkan, that you know that whatever was in the Mishkan is also to do on Shabbos, Hitzah is two psukim. One is Vayichalu Ha'om Bihavi. The Gemara brings it in Shabbos Daf Sadi Zayin, and that is that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, enough stuff for the Mishkan, we don't need any more. Moshe, the says the Gemara, was standing in Machan Leviyah, which is Rosh HaRabim, and he told the Klal Yisrael, don't bring out any more from your Ayalim, your Rosh HaYochid, to Rosh HaRabim. Another Pasuk, the Gemara says, Gemara brings it in Erevin, Al Yotzi Ishmim Koimoy, which we read Al Yotzi, don't carry out. So why is that actually two psukim by Hutzal? What's it? Every other malach is not for Mishkan, it's enough. That is with the Mishkan, that's enough. How comes it comes to Hutzal? We don't say that. So the Rishonim discuss, Tosfos says the beginning of Shabbos. Tosfos says because although all the other malachs we understand, they're very. You should take a stand malach, a bishul. You're achieving something. You're doing something with the malach. You're actually creating something. Hitzah is a very unique melacha in the fact that you're not actually doing very much. All you're doing is moving an object from point A to point B. It's not necessarily something in the actual, you're not achieving any tikkun. It's what the Roshayim call a melacha gerua. It's a shvacha melacha. So if it's a melacha gerua, it needs psukim. And two psukim says Tosis because one's for Hitzah, taking out the Rosh HaYochid to Rabim, one's for Hachnasa, take in from Rosh HaRabim to Rosh HaYochid. Because you couldn't learn one from the other because it's such a chiddush, Hitzah is such a chiddush, it's not such a posh concept to say you're actually doing a melacha because it's a melacha gerua. So you have to have each part of Hitzah needs to have its own specific posuk, you know, why you're high for that, why you're high for that. Each one has to have its own makor. So we'll see, as Hashem, that comes in, as Hashem, what we're discussing. So today, I'd like to discuss two interesting shailas, which came out from the Gemara of Bialing and Koil, and the following shailas, this is what I'd like to discuss. So, number one, someone's driving their car in the Rishus HaRabim. And we know besides Hitzah V'Hachnasah, they're taking in from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, or taking out from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. So it is a Havaras Dalad Amos B'Rishus HaRabim. Moving something for Amos Rishus HaRabim is also a concept of Hitzah. Someone's driving his car, and he drives it for Amos Rishus HaRabim. Of course, when he's driving his car, he's being over through the race of Melechas Havaras Eish and probably Kibbeish or other things I'm not aware of. But there are certainly melachas going on there. But is he also transgressing the melacha of Havaras Dalad Amos Hitzah as he's driving his car along? He's driving his car, pressing the pedals, and that's causing the car, a big item, is moving four Amos Rishus HaRabim. Is that also subject to Melechas Hitzah? And in a way, this has some ramifications, because let's say, for example, the person discussed the Sajin Shai, let's say you have a need to go to hospital with a baby and you have to carry the baby to hospital. Let's say you live close to the hospital. It's not, you could either walk there and transgress the melacha of Hitzah by carrying the baby to the hospital, or you can ask a goy to transport you there, which would only be a drabbanon, and that way you might bypass the melacha of Hitzah. Is that a way forward? That's one shayla. Hey, all right. And it's for Rosh. The question is there a milah to do it this way? That's a shayla. So, you think not? Okay, let's see. So says another shayla I want to discuss. If we get there, if we have time to get there. Sorry.
Aren't you carrying the baby in the car?
That's the question to discuss. Are you carrying?
Same thing. You walk with the baby, or are you carrying the baby?
So let's see. Let's see. Is it any different? That's my shayla. That's my shayla today. Is it any different? So so the other shayla I want to discuss. If we get there, is we know there's a big machlokes rishonim. What is the How do you define Rosh Hashanah? Is Rosh Hashanah defined by something 16 amos wide, any street 16 amos wide, which includes most streets? Or is it defined by having Shishim Ribui, 600,000 people, like the Malachi Yisrael was in the Midbar, with 600,000 people, at least the men between the ages of 20 and 60? And therefore, say a lot of Rosh Hashanah, that to be Rosh Hashanah, you also have to have the fact 600,000 people going on it. Now, when you have cars in Rosh Hashanah, do the people in the cars count for the 600,000? Because if they're in a car, maybe they're separate to Rosh Hashanah, and they're not included in the count of 600,000. That's my second shayla of the day. What do you say about that? So, let's first of all, let's just point out that this what we've discussed today is only a part of the bigger picture, especially with the second shayla, it's only a part of the bigger picture. So we're just going to discuss one specific sugya. So now, first of all, we have to discuss what is a Rishus HaYochid. We're going to discuss, is a car, you know, what's a car, what's a category of car? I think we first have to discuss what's the category of Rishus HaYochid and see if a car fits in that parameters. So a classic Rishus HaYochid, I think everyone thinks of as you've got an area with mechitzas around it, 10 tefachim high, which is about almost a meter for the Chazadish, and about 78 in the field of Chaim Noah, 78 centimeters. And it has to be also, so it's got mechitzas all around it, and it has to be an area inside of dalat tefachim by dalat tefachim, close to about 40 centimeters chazanish, a bit less if you have chayim noya. So that's, I think, everyone understands the classic Rishus HaYochid. What happens when you have a platform in Rishus HaRabim, which is the same parameter? You've got, say, this table. I don't know if this table is a meter high. I don't think it's a table is a meter high. That. Sorry?
It's a high.
It's a high. So you have this table or this in Rishus HaRabim. And it's not no mechitzas necessarily. It's just poshut a area which is separated from Rosh Hashanah in the fact that it's 10 tefachim high, and it's got 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim on top. It's a classic wheelie bin, a wheelie bin. What would you consider a wheelie bin? Would a wheelie bin be a Rosh Hashanah, or would it be a Rosh Hashanah in the fact it's got it's 10 tefachim high and it's got 4 by 4 on top, even though it hasn't got mechitzas necessarily? There's no clear mechitzas this wheelie bin. But says the Gemara, even this is a Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because the fact it's separated from Rosh Hashanah, even though it doesn't have clear defined mechitzas, it also becomes a Rosh Hashanah. So, on top of a wheelie bin, would start to be considered a Rosh Hashanah. And a car, for example, would be the same thing. A car which has a height of a meter about, like we mentioned, 10 tefachim, and it's got 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim on top, would start to be considered a Rosh Hashanah. Might be kind of complicated if you have the car which slopes very slowly and doesn't have straight mechitzas, that might come a bit more complicated. But generally, you would say that if it's at least somewhat straight mechitzas, then it would be a Rosh Hashanah. And inside the car, it's even more understandable. If it's got an area of 10 tefachim inside the car, yeah, then of course, that's clearly defined mechitzas. That would be, I think, even more poshut. So now, just a practical example of how this would affect us. So you're walking in the street, your hat flies off and lands on top of a car, on top of a wheelie bin, and you want to take it and put it back on your head. That would be, if you're standing Rosh Hashanah at least, that would be proper Hitzah Deraisa. You're taking the hat from the car, which is Rosh Hashanah, or the wheelie bin, and you're putting it on your head, which is Akira from Rosh Hashanah, Hanochan Rosh Hashanah. It would be Mamish B, Hitzah Deraisa. Yeah, not something people think about, I don't know how common it is to happen anyways, but that is the L'chayra, what comes out from it. What would you have to do, actually, if you want to get your hat? Let's say your hat does fly on the wheelie bin. What would you have to do? You have to climb on top of the wheelie bin. So now you're in the Rosh Hashanah, you put it on your head, and then it's okay because you're standing in Rosh Hashanah. So Akira Rosh Hashanah, Hanoch Rosh Hashanah. Once you're wearing it, of course you can go out. Okay? But, so, that is, first of all, discussing what is the parameters of a car. Now, we're going to discuss now what happens when you have a car which is moving in the Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, very nice. We know a car is a Rosh Hashanah. What happens when you have a Rosh Hashanah which is moving? Does that Is it considered haitzah when you're moving, take a wheelie bin, you drag it into the rabbin? Is that considered carrying of the wheelie bin? Yeah, of course, when you carry something, it doesn't mean you have to mean you're carrying in your hands. It could be even pushing something, a wheelchair or something like that would also be carrying. So would wheeling a wheelie bin be considered haitzah in Rosh Hashanah? So you might think, why not? Why not? Should not be haitzah? Well, this is a Gemara, the sugya that we're going to discuss today is a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Ches. A few lines of Gemara, seemingly unassuming, but from there is so much to haitzah, it's unbelievable. But we're going to discuss literally one point. So Gemara says there, Omar Abaya, says Abaya, Zarak Kiveras Rosh Hashanah. If you take a beehive, I don't know why this Gemara is discussing a beehive, but that's one example of a big item. You take a beehive and you throw it into Rosh Hashanah. You're standing in Rosh Hashanah and holding this beehive and you throw it into the Rosh Hashanah. Gvoya Yud, it's 10 high, so it's got the height of Rosh Hashanah. The Einoi Rochva Vov. However, it hasn't got a diameter, we're talking about a round beehive, it hasn't got a diameter of 6 tefachim. Then you're chayv. Why? Because it hasn't got a diameter of 6 tefachim. 6 tefachim, a circle of 6 tefachim is what Chazal consider what you can fit a square inside of 4x4. You know, to remember, Shusiyach, it has to be a square of 4x4 inside. So if you're talking about a circle, it has to have a diameter of 6 to have inside that a square of 4x4. And then you're potter then you're chayv because why not? That's normal. You throw something, throwing is also considered the melechas haitzah. You throw something for amas, so you throw something for shishiyach and shisharabim, vice versa, is also considered melechas haitzah. So, of course, you're chayv. However, it says by a big chiddush, roch vavov, however, if it has got a diameter of 6, so now it's got this beehive, a circle beehive, it's got diameters of irushus hayochid, then you're potter. So suddenly, says the Rabbiah, when you throw Rosh Hashanah Yochid, from the Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you throw something which has the dimensions of Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and you're standing in a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and you throw it into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or if you throw it down to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it would be the same thing, then you are potter. Why are you potter? What's the Peshat? So here you got Rashi and Tosis. Big machlokes Rosh Hashanah. So Rashi says, you know why you're potter? The Havar Rishus La'atzva, because this beehive, it's own Rishus. It's got its own dimensions of rishus. But anon mishkan gamriyon, we learn from the Mishkan. How do we know melechas haitzah? We learn from the Mishkan. Shehoyu zorikim machteya melechdom zelazeh. V'loyu zorikim rishus. Says Rashi, how do we know melechas haitzah? How do you know zrika? How do you know zrika's also? Yeah, zrika was, where was zrika in the Mishkan? Maybe only haitzah with your hands when you're moving, or hachnasa when you bring in, or maybe when you move something down, you drag something. But how do you know throwing something is also considered melechas haitzah? So the Gemara in Hazeruk there goes to have this whole discussion. Rashi brings part of the Gemara, and Rashi says, you know how we know? It's because in the Mishkan, when they were weaving the garments, they had these needles, and they used to throw these needles one to the other. So we see from there that Zrika was in the Mishkan, and therefore it's also melechas haitzah. But says Rashi, we only know they were throwing needles, something small. The Zorikin Rishuy is something which is a big item, which has a category of Rishus itself, that we have no makor to say, that's going to be Chayav. So therefore, says Rashi, when you take this beehive, which has the mention of Rishus Yochid, and you throw it from Rishus Yochid to Rishus Rabin, you're going to be potter, because there's no makor to this, that you'll be Chayav in the Mishkan. Tosfos, however, has a whole different bishat, a whole different understanding. Tosfos says, do you know why you're potter for this kaveret, this beehive? He says, what are you doing? You're taking this beehive, and you're throwing it to Rishus Yochid. When this kiveres lands in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, what happens to that area of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? That airspace where this beehive lands, it becomes a Rosh Hashanah Yochid then. Because, like we said, any wheelie bin, anything with dimensions of Rosh Hashanah Yochid that's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim becomes Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So it might be it was Rosh Hashanah Rabbim before it landed. But when you're throwing it from Rosh Hashanah Yochid, it lands in the Rishus Harabim, but that area now becomes a Rishus Hayochid again. So what have you done? You've thrown something from Rishus Hayochid. It's landed where? In the Rishus Hayochid now. So where's the Melachas Hitzah? There's no Melachas Hitzah here. It might be before Rishus Harabim, but now, as it's landing, it's Rishus Hayochid. Throwing something from one Rishus Hayochid to another Rishus Hayochid, even if it's flying over Rishus Harabim, it's potter. So that's why you're potter.
It landed in the Rishus HaRabim, and then it became a Rishus HaYochid.
So it's interesting, the question how you view it. Do you see, is it happening at the same time? Is it not happening at the same time? That's a whole, that's Tosafot had a whole long discussion about that. It's a good point, and but we're since it's happening at the same time, the understanding is that you're going to be potter because it's not considered munach in the Rishus HaRabim, because it only was before Rishus HaRabim, but now it becomes Rishus HaYochid. So there's a kash on this Gemara. There's a big kash on this Gemara. Bnei Kohos, yeah? Bnei Kohos, they carried the Oroin and Mizbeach and other Klei HaMishkan. Now, says the Gemara in Daf Tzadi Beis in Shabbos, what happens if you carry something above 10 Tefachim? Now, one of the big Yesodis in Shabbos is that Rishus HaRabim only reaches until 10 Tefachim. Above 10 tefachim, that's considered the mokum patur. And if you throw something above 10 tefachim and it stays above 10 tefachim somehow, let's say it lands on the wall and it sticks to the wall, you're not chayev because it never landed in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim. Says the Gemara, however, if you're carrying something and you walk in the Rishus HaRabim above 10 tefachim and you walk for amos or whatever it is, then you're going to be chayev. It's all above 10 tefachim, it's all in the airspace of mokum patur. Says the Gemara, we learn from Bnei Kohos. Bnei Kohos, they were tall people. They were carrying the Orem Mizbeach, which were on their shoulders, and they didn't go down within to the airspace of 10. Or they went down a bit into the airspace of 10, but at least they were mostly above 10. So therefore, says the Gemara, you're going to be chayef, because although usually carrying in 10 above 10 tefachim is potter, but we see from Bnei Kohos, when you're carrying something, although throwing something in the airspace of 10 tefachim is potter, when you're carrying something, we view it, according to some way, some Rishonim explain it, as if it's on the ground. So you're carrying it, although it's above 10 tefachim, we learn for Bnei Kohos, that's as if it's on the ground. So now, how big was the Oren? How big was the Mizbeach? The Oren, we know. The Oren was 10 tefachim, with the Kaparis, so it was 9 tefachim, with the Kaparis was another tefach. So it was 10 tefachim high. And the space on top was certainly bigger than Dalet tefachim by Dalet tefachim. So the Oren itself had the dimensions of a Rishus HaYochid. Mizbeach was much larger than that. Why Bnei Kohos chayev? Why can we learn from Bnei Kohos that you're chayev for carrying this Oren Mizbeach? Why is it different to the Gemara we just learned before? We said before, you throw a kaveris, you throw a beehive, which has the dimension of Rishus HaYochid, you're potter. So why, how can we not learn from Bnei Kohos that carrying something which is a Rishus, carrying something that has the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid, should be chayev? Steer it. So, it's a big question, and the Tosi Shonim actually asked the question, and this it's going to depend on the Machlokes Rashi Tosi we had till now. Let's start with Tosi. What does Tosi hold? Why, by throwing a Rishus HaYochid, something which has the mention of Rishus HaYochid, a big thing, why is that potter? Says Tosi, because when it lands, it becomes that space becomes Rishus HaYochid. So you're never chayav because it's always landing in its own space, which is in Rishus HaYochid. Now, this is only when it's landing in on the ground. If you're carrying it, it's never. We're talking about the Bnei Kohos were carrying it. When they started to move, that was an akira. When they stop, that's a hanocha. They didn't put it down, they stopped with it. But that's considered a hanocha. And you're chayav because, even though you didn't put it on the ground, you're chayav because the fact that you stopped is a hanocha. Now, you can't say anymore, well, it should now become a Rishus HaYochid and patter you, because when does it become a Rishus HaYochid if he tells you this? When it lands on the ground. When it lands on the ground, it turns that area into a Rishus HaYochid. When you're carrying it, it's not a Rishus HaYochid. Only when it's gone down the ground can you say it's considered a Rishus HaYochid. So if he tells us, we don't have a Kastira. The answer to the contradiction is, when you're carrying, when it's landing on the ground, you're throwing it and it's landing on the ground, of course that ground becomes a Rishus HaYochid. However, when you're walking with it, it's still you're still holding it in the air, it's not Rishus HaYochid. You won't be chayav for carrying yourself. No one says you're chayav for carrying yourself. Now, what about Rashi? What about Rashi? Why are you chai? Why? What's the difference between Rashi? Rashi's Torah is because lo yimotzinu makor in the Mishkan. We don't find any source in the Mishkan that you're chayav for throwing a rishus. They only threw needles one to the other. They never chayav for throwing rishus. Something too big. The Torah is mechayav for throwing something small like a needle, not something big like a rishus. So one second. What about carrying Oren Mizbeach? That was big. The answer is, says Rashash, says Chassam Sofer, says Toyas Chaim, They say there's a difference between zrika and havara, or hitzah. That means to say, when you're throwing something, that's when you have to learn from the Mishkan that they only had a source that they were throwing needles. That's a separate type of melechas hitzah. When it comes to carrying something, when you're not throwing it, that is going to be learned from Leikos, that taka you're chai for such a thing, something big, you're chai for it. Yeah, although zrika we don't have a source for, but hitzah, havara, we do have a source for. So we divide up which type of hitzah it is. If it's a zrika type of hitzah, then you're going to be potter, says Rashi, because we have to have a source for that. If it's a havara, then, meaning to say you're carrying it, you're not throwing it, then you're going to be chayav, that we learn from Leikos. So now let's speak out two big nafkaminas which come out from this machalikas Rashi Tosfos. So nafkamina number one. Let's say you take a wheelie bin and you chuck it in Rosh Hashanah. So we know if it lands upright, both Rashi and Tosfos would say you're potter. Each one according to the Shitta. Rashi because you're throwing something big, and Tosfos because it becomes Rosh Hashanah when it lands. Let's say you throw it and it lands sideways. So now, let's start with Tosfos. If he Tosfos, what's the dimensions of this landing sideways? It's not Rosh Hashanah anymore. It's not a meter high. It's much less. And therefore, it won't be Rosh Hashanah anymore. So in such a situation, if he Tosfos, of course he'd be Chayav. Yeah, because it's not landing and becoming Rosh Hashanah at the same time. However, if you're Rashi, what's Rashi's Ashita? Rashi's Ashita is something big, which has the capability of being Rosh Hashanah, is Potter. Does it make a difference how it lands? I mean, no difference how it lands. So therefore, says if you're Rashi, you'll be chayav. Yeah, that's one clear nafkamina. Nafkamina number two. What happens if you're not throwing something, rather you're wheeling something? Yeah? So would that be the same thing as throwing? So again, let's say we go to Firashi. Rashi said, Zrika doesn't have a makor in the Mishkan. However, Havara Staladamus, weaning something out, has a makor from Leikos. So there's a difference, as we spoke about in Rashi, between Zrika and Havara. Or Hitzah, when you're throwing something, that's when you have a patur. When you're weaning something, there's no patur. We learn from Leikos, we learn from the Aram Mizbeach, that you're chayv. Where's the Fitoisvus? What's the patur? The patur is that it becomes as it's landing, or as it stops, a Rosh Hashanah where it is. Does it make a difference if you throw something or if you wheel something? Wherever the day, where it stops, when you wheel it and then it stops where it is, it becomes Rosh Hashanah where it is. It doesn't make a difference if you're throwing it or you're wheeling it. Wherever it stops, you can't say that he's done an Akira with a Hanocha in the Rosh Hashanah. He's done Akira from Rosh Hashanah and he's done a Hanocha in Rosh Hashanah. What's the problem?
Sorry. How did you learn the wheels from wheeling from the Bnei Kos?
So we don't learn wheeling necessarily, but we don't know there's any difference between walking, Havaras Daladamas, or dragging something along. It's the same category. Zrika is a completely different category. But we don't have a different category to say wheeling something is different to carrying something. Wheeling and carrying is the same category of Hitzah.
Just assuming that.
It's quite clear. I think it comes out from the Gemara. Zrika we have different sources for. We don't have any different makor to say, well, dragging something and carrying something is different. There's no different makor. Zrika, the Gemara goes through, Shaka Vataria, why is Zrika chayav? Why is it not chayav? But Havara is the same thing whether you wheel it or whether you carry it. There's no distinction in the Gemara between wheeling and carrying. The Gemara never makes a distinction. Now, it's interesting, how do we pass them? Rashi or Tosfos? Big enough is Rishonim, lot of Rishonim beside the Rashi, lot of Rishonim beside the Tosfos. How do we actually pass them? So, interesting enough, there's actually no Shulchan Aruch or Torah on this. Yeah, strange thing you would think. There's no Shulchan Aruch or Torah on this. Why is it big machlokes? We said two nafkaminas. Why is there no Torah or Shulchan Aruch on this? So, one potential suggestion, the fact that Torah even speaks it out, I think in Siman Shinal, if he says, a lot of Hitzah, I'm not going to discuss. Because of a lot of Hitzah, has no nafkamina halacha, because although it might be chayiv midiraisa or potter midiraisa, but a lot of these cases are anyways going to be chayiv or osa to do midirabon. Yeah. So even the fi and the Rosh Yeshiva speaks this out in the Gemara. He says even though fi Rashi might be potter, if Tosfos might be potter in some situations, at the end of the day, it's all osa to rabon. So the question we're discussing is the issa deiraisa, which still has ramifications, but basic poshter nafkaminas there isn't there. So the Torah doesn't pass on it. And the Rambam Havah does paskin it. And he actually speaks out. He says that he starts off with Zayruk and he ends off with Moitzi. And the Poskim want to say, you know why he starts with Zayruk and ends off with Moitzi? It's because he wants to tell us there's no difference in Zayruk and no difference in Moitzi. They're all potter, not like Rashi. Okay. Now, the Poskim can discuss, let's say, for example, if you're wheeling a wagon, are you going to be chayav for that? So there's a very cryptic Mogad Avraham, and the Tosefos Shabbos wants to understand the Mogad Avraham the following. He wants to say that the Mogad Avraham is coming to say that you're not chayav for wheeling a wagon out from Rishus Yochid to Rishus Rabin, or four amos in Rishus Rabin. Do you know why? Because of a sugi we just learnt. Who's he siding with? He's siding with Tosefos, that the Torah is no difference between Zayruk, no difference between Mavir, you're all potter because wherever it stops, it becomes Irshus Ha Yochit. However, it comes along in the Kor Chayim Machzor Shekel and say, what do you mean? The Sugya says, only Zayruk. We have no source to say you're potter when you're being Moitzi. They're siding with Rashi. So, big Machlokes Poskim, how to go with. So now, let's go to the next point. So now, So just going back to our shayla. Shayla number one. Yeah, we discussed, when you drive a car in Rishus Rabban, are you transgressing Meleches Peitzo? So, I think now we can point out that a car is Rishus HaYochid, as we established. And when you're moving a car, it's rolling along the ground. So, it will be dependent on the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Lefi Rashi, only Zayruk is potter. So, when you're driving a car, that would not be Zayruk, that would be Moitzi. That would be Chayv, of course. Whereas the Fit Tosfos, that there's no difference between Zayruk or Moitzi, at the end of the day it lands in its own Rishus, and it becomes, wherever it stops, it becomes Rishus Yochid. So you never have transferred a car for Amos Rishus Rabim. It goes from one area, which is Rishus Yochid, lands off another area, which becomes Rishus Yochid. Where's Melachis Yisahir? And now going back to the Shai, let's say you want to move a baby to hospital. Yeah? I think even if he Rashi, that the Patur is only Zayruk, but when you're inside the car, which is a Rishus HaYochid itself, yeah, even Rashi would agree that anything inside the car, you're not transgressing Hitzah. Who's transgressing Hitzah in the case where the guy is driving? Who's transgressing Hitzah? Maybe the guy is transgressing Hitzah. You're sitting in the car and carrying a baby, and someone's pushing you along. That's not Malachas Hitzah. The guy might be transferring you. He's doing Malachas Hitzah. Okay, fine, it's Tamil Akum. But you're not transgressing Hitzah, even if he Rashi Shitta. So now, just one quick wrap up in the last minute. The next I've discussed. What happens
if... There was a car when you got into it.
When you got into it, it was just Yachnulta. Wherever it was, even in Rishus Rabban, the car, it becomes Rishus Yochid. At wherever it is standing, it becomes Rishus Yochid, wherever it is, because it's got the benches of Rishus Yochid. And when it starts to move, when it's not moving, it's always Rishus Yochid. So carrying a baby inside, you'd have to make sure to ask the guy to carry the baby inside. True point, good point. When you go inside the car, you can't carry the baby in yourself. Well, you can if you need to, but of course it would be better to ask someone to carry the baby inside if you're coming from Rishus Rabban. Yeah, that would be the way to do it. Yeah. Just very quickly, last minute. So what happens, do we consider the people inside the car as part of the Shishim Ribui? So there's a big, one of the famous tshuvas of the discussion between the Mishnah Halachas and the Igros Moshe. The Mishnah Halachas wants to come and say, he says, as we said, both of you Rashi and Tosfos, the car itself is Rishus HaYochid. The question is if you chayv Hitzah on the Rishus HaYochid, but the car itself is Rishus HaYochid. So if you've got people inside the Rishus HaYochid, who says they join together with the area, the people around them in the Rishus HaRabban? That is the tain of the Mishnah Halachas. So it seems quite understandable. Chayra. But says the Igros Moshe, and this seems to be the Machlokes, says the Igros Moshe, he says that just because they're in Rishus HaYochid doesn't mean you can't count them as people going in the Rishus HaRabban. How are they going in the Rishus HaRabban? They're going in the Rishus HaRabban in the Rishus HaYochid. But it doesn't mean to say they don't join with people going in the Rishus HaRabban. They just happen to be in the Rishus HaYochid when they're going. So just to summarize, we had a Machlokes Rashi. Sorry?
Shidim Migdol.
What about that, Shidim Migdol? Well, it's flying through the air. That's a different sugi of Ozorok. I don't know. Yeah. to look into that sugya. But just to summarize, basically we brought out machlekes Rashi Tosfos, why you pot in the Gemara 67 Patur when you're transferring irishus, something which has the mention of irishus one area to another area. The fi Rashi, you're only potter when you're throwing something, not when you're dragging something along. The fi Tosfos, you're potter both by throwing something and by dragging something, because wherever it lands becomes irishus ayochid. And that's enough good of a car, would you be chayv hitzah for that? Shkoyach.
Could be they come in travel than the book.